Welcome back to Michelle is Money Hungry and to the summer season. Had a little hiccup there. This will be an unedited episode, and I'll actually explain why that is during the show itself. This show is sponsored by Make Money with eBooks, helping creativepreneurs become authors one book at a time. Sign up for the next Creativepreneur to Author workshop using the link in the show notes. You'll access the show notes at michelleismoneyhungry.com/do-it-ugly-show. Also, this episode is sponsored by Money on the Mountain, a financial retreat for financially single women. If you are looking to have conversations all about money from the financially single woman's perspective, this event is for you. It'll be held in Denver, Colorado this October. Early bird tickets are on sale now, and we'll complete those sales in July. So definitely grab those tickets. Payment plans are available. So you will go to the page with all the information, which we'll have a link in the show notes. Click on the option that you're interested in. You'll notice which one says payment plan and which one is paid in full. So today's episode is called Do It Ugly. It has become my new personal anthem and mantra, and I wanted to share it with you, why this is so important to me, why I want so many people to get out of their way, and why I think so many people aren't getting things done. So what on earth is Do It Ugly all about? Like, why do I have this catchy phrase? Like, what's the point of it all? And basically, it is anti-perfectionism. It's anti-imposter syndrome. It's pro-slaying your doubts. It's kicking imposter syndrome in the nuts. It's basically saying, I'd rather you do it ugly than not at all. Basically, in the past couple of years, as I've developed courses, created books, worked on this podcast, a lot of times kind of ugly, I've noticed that there have been people in my life who've never started. Maybe they're doing one thing incredibly well. Like, they have this insane website. Like, they're doing so many cool things with this website, but they're afraid to launch their course, even though people are asking them for the resource or course over and over again. Like, people are begging to throw money at them, but they're like, you know, I'm worried. I wish that I had access to a videographer. I wish that, you know, I'm just not sure that someone's going to buy it from me, even though people have literally said that they would. And it drives me crazy. It drives me crazy because most people don't understand the following. Doing it ugly does not mean that that's the final result, right? So when I started my blog, the way that it is now is like so different than what it was like when I first started it. And I'll talk about that further. The way that my podcast is now compared to before, it's so different. There's no comparison. And many people forget that part of the process of creating tools, products, resources, whatever it is that you're thinking about as a creativepreneur, is that you will spend a lot of time improving whatever it is you've created based on the feedback that people give you. You're unable to get feedback if you don't put things out there. There is no way that anything is perfect if you don't put it out there. Actually, you know what's really interesting? I just thought about this as I started talking. There was this influencer, quote unquote influencer, on Instagram with like 2 million followers, allegedly. I feel like probably 40% of those were spam accounts because that's just how social media can be. But still, 1.6 million followers is legit if 40% are spam. And this girl decided to sell some t-shirts. Like, I guess she had an urge to sell a product. And apparently she sold 35. Now, this is a very extreme case, but I will applaud the fact that she did try something. She did something that a lot of people wouldn't have tried. Now, it's clear that she wasn't really listening to her audience to see if that's what they wanted from her. It's clear that There was some kind of disconnect because, I'm sorry, 1.6 million people and only 35 of them purchasing said item is a little weird. But you have to give this person credit. They tried. And I would rather you try and fail and learn from that failure than be afraid of failure. Quite honestly, the best lessons I've learned is when I've embraced failure and looked it in the eye every time it smacked me in the face. I've failed so many times that it's amusing to me now. I'm just like, okay, what am I going to learn from this? What can I do better? What can I change so that this isn't the outcome next time? But at the same time, I've also made thousands of dollars because I've taken risks. And in taking those risks, I've learned that whatever it is you're trying to grow will take longer than you expect. A lot of these people that you see online, like the Pat Flynns and Michelle Schroeder Gardeners, and they're wonderful people that I've actually met in real life more than once. But it's not like they had overnight success in the way that I think a lot of people think they have. It's taken them years to build up the momentum, to build up the capacity to understand what people want from them, to build up a following, years and years. And a lot of people are afraid to embrace that part of the process. And that's honestly a shame. That was a long pause. So at the time that I am releasing this episode, it is almost July. It's mid-June, actually, which means that you basically have another 6 months in 2019 to do something epic, to release a course, to write a book, to create an event, to do something that you've been sitting on. So what I'd like for you to do after this episode is to think about that one thing that you've been sitting on and thinking about and feeling like you want to put out there, but have been afraid to do that one thing. And I want you to ask yourself, why? Is it the imposter syndrome? Is it tech? Is it perceived cost? Like, are you worried to put something out there because you think it might be expensive? Do you worry about the amount of time that you're going to spend in order to create this thing? And finally, how do you imagine what the end result should look like? So I think that a lot of people, when I speak to them, they're like, it has to be this way. It has to look this way. A lot of people are really focused on aesthetics. I'm not surprised because we have social media feeds and platforms such as Instagram, which is very visual, or YouTube, which is very visual, Facebook, which is, again, visual. It's driven by pictures and videos. But when you look at a lot of the videos for influencers and businesses, business people out there, their first videos are crap. If you listen to podcasts from podcasters that you love, their first podcasts are bad. If you read people's books, like my first book that I published, my first fiction book, is my worst book. The other books are much better, and that's because I've gotten better at the craft of writing. And actually, I'm going to walk through the things that I've produced and created and what that means to me in 2019 as I build out my brand. So when I first started monetizing my projects, I really didn't have an idea of what I was going to do. Like, at first I was like, yeah, I love affiliate income, but I'm going to get distracted and think about coaching. I'm glad that I did, because I have a wonderful coach that I recommend to everyone, but I wasn't really listening to myself, which was that I always talked about affiliate income. I love affiliate income. And so that detour helped me to learn that coaching in that way was not what I wanted to do. I would have never have written my books if I hadn't had that detour, which is really weird. I never would have created my course, Make Money with Ebooks, if I hadn't written my book randomly. I had it on my list, and I'd been thinking about it, and I was like, you know, I have this list, like this half marathon thing that I've been wanting to do. I'll just get that done the next day. I literally decided the day before that I would run a half marathon, even though I'd never trained. And I did really well. I feel like the fear of dying on the race during the race was gonna like spur me on. And also there was like this 85-year-old lady that I saw running, and I was like, if she can run, I can do it. Anyhow, my point is, I just one day was like, these are things I want to try, and I'm not gonna invest a whole bunch of money in them, and I'm just gonna see how it goes. That one book has made me thousands of dollars. Because I put that one book out there, and then I put other books out there, and then I refined my craft, and I learned how to really market and grow a book business that is a cohesive and important part of my overall online business. And it took forever to figure it all out, but if I hadn't tried and I hadn't put that book out, I wouldn't have made all that money. Likewise, I actually had a book about Colorado that was out before that. And I'd always been kind of sitting on my Colorado project because I had this idea that was really important to have that website. And even though I never really actively used that site, I still was able to leverage that Colorado website. Was it distracting? Yes. Yes. For those of you who are like, Michelle, you need to focus on one thing. I hear you. You're totally not wrong. But having that kind of connection with people here in my town, in my state, where I could start conversations because I was like, hey, I've started this website about such and such thing. That was a big deal, even though I wasn't working on that project as aggressively as I probably could have or should have. And one of the things that I've learned from starting all of these things ugly is I've learned a couple of things. The first thing is the first iteration typically is not the last one. So if you are a creativepreneur and you have a blog, look at your first blog post and look at the current one. I'm completely confident that they're very different in terms of quality, in terms of cohesiveness, in terms of how you share an opt-in, in terms of where your links are to other resources within your blog. Like it's a different experience that people are having. If you are a podcaster, listen to your first show and then listen to your last show, your most recent one. It's very different. If you've written a book or two, look at your first book and look at your most recent book. I am convinced that the most recent book is much better than the first. But without the confidence from doing the first one, you would never have written the most recent one, right? And then as for your course, courses in particular, you need a lot of feedback. So one day I was like, you know what? This book thing's amazing. I need to create a course. And I created a course overnight. I did not build out the whole thing. I built out the framework. And then I did a workshop. I was like, a webinar. I was like, hey, I want to teach you what I did because I'm really excited about the results. Because I had seen other people get excited about my results. I'd posted in different places. I created the beginning framework of the course and built it out as people took the course. So basically, I proved the concept before creating it. And then during the webinar, I was like, I have this thing. And it's not complete. I literally told them it is not finished. It is not done. I have not finished this course and people still bought it. I made thousands of dollars on a course that was not complete from a hunch, from observations, from what people were excited about in regards to the things that I was sharing. And in fact, this summer I will be sharing a series called the brand building series, I feel like is what I want to call it. And I've actually interviewed different creativepreneurs out there, such as Monica Louie from Flourish with Facebook Ads, Kayla Sloan from the 10K VA, Alex from Create and Go. Those are some interviews that will be going live this summer. And they all were like, oh yeah, we started as soon as we had a feeling that this was going to work, and we didn't worry too much that was like beautiful and all this stuff. Like when you listen to those interviews, you'll understand why I'm telling you to do it ugly. As you make more money, as you gain more testimonials and feedback, you refine the products that you've created. So I thought it'd be nice to kind of talk about my first blog, podcast, course, And yeah, we're gonna talk about the experience that I had. So I started blogging in 2012. And I started my blog because I had become this huge fan of personal finance blogs. Like, I couldn't get enough of reading their stories. I still enjoy reading their stories. And I discovered that there would be this event called FinCon held in Denver 2 weeks from that day that I was hearing about it. So I was like, oh my God, all of my blogging idols, holy crap, are going to be in Denver, and it's only $100. And I can, even though I'm broke, I can afford that. Like, literally, this is what I thought to myself. And I was like, and they're going to feed us. I'll never forget that. I was like so excited that for $100, we're going to get food. And the food was good, even though there were people who bitched, but we're not going to go there. Anyway, and I go, and it's funny because I'm really talkative. I'm very extroverted, but I was so fangirled out that I didn't really talk that much at that FinCon. Like, I met people, but I don't feel like I was 100% Michelle. And after I left, I was like, I'm going to start my blog. And I started it on a free platform, and I worked on it for a while. And then one day, one of my new buddies from FinCon, Eric, from Personal Profitability, was like, Michelle, I can help you. Because, like, I decided to start a WordPress blog, but I was like worried about how that worked, and I'm not techie, and I was just like, oh my God, how am I going to do this? Like, how am I going to start this thing? Like, I don't even understand how to transfer it from this platform to the other. And Eric was like, Michelle, I'll do this for you on Christmas Eve. And I walked over to his house because we lived pretty close to each other. And on Christmas Eve, for 3 or 4 hours, he just worked on my blog and transferred everything over. And I like got to see his turntable because he DJs, and I hung out with his girlfriend, who's now his wife. And it was just a wonderful experience. And one of the things that I learned is, as you put things out there and connect with other people, it is highly likely that you will connect with the people who will help you up level the projects that you're working on. So even if you're in a space for a long time, when you start dipping your toe into something different, like creating a course, that kind of thing, you will meet other people who've done the same, and they will hopefully provide guidance unexpectedly and support for those products or projects. So I had this blog, I did it on a free platform, and then a friend of mine transferred it over for free. By the way, he actually, when he does this now, it's very expensive. He's expensive. and so I was very fortunate that he did that for me. And because I started that first blog, I started the second blog, which is now, which was my Colorado site. So I should also say, when I started blogging, the names of my blogs were different. So the first blog was called The Shop My Closet Project. And the idea was to use what I had, love what I've got, and live my best life. Like, to really be mindful and respectful of what's already in my home as I paid off debt. Over time, I changed, and there's a reason why sometimes blogs will change their names, just people change. And so that is why I now go by the name Michelle is Money Hungry for both the podcast and the blog. I just changed over time. The way that I thought about life kind of expanded and grew. And so I learned how to change everything. I rebranded. I got support where need be. And it wasn't that expensive to do, by the way. It was pretty straightforward. And my blog, the Colorado one, actually had a different name as well. It was called ColoradoLoveHub.info. So actually, if you go to that URL, it'll redirect you. But it was very confusing because love, like, I was being cute, love was L-U-V instead of L-O-V-E. And so I always had to like explain that. And it was very annoying. But because I put it out there, people were excited about the idea and the concept, and they supported that. And I think that that's where people go wrong when they don't put stuff out there, is they don't allow other people to be excited about what you have to share. So then I decided, a couple years later, I was like, you know what? I'm going to start a podcast. Like, I like to talk. I'm a talker. I like talking to people. I just like to talk. So why don't I start a podcast? And I'll just, I don't know, interview people. And I was not really up on the tech and what that should be like. And I wasn't a podcaster who did blogging. I was a blogger who added a podcast. And so for podcasters listening to this show, the way I thought about it was very different than, say, you, if you've only done a podcast. And so I was like, well, I'm going to use this resource that's free, and I'm just going to call in and have my guests call in, and there we go. Like, that's great. Like, I've got a podcast. The audio was crap, but the interviews actually were much better than I realized. So I interviewed Tess Vigeland, who is an amazing author. I interviewed a guy named Ultra Romance, who is the most interesting guy. He's basically a fire person, like financial independence, retire early, but he does it differently than like the people with millions of dollars in their bank account. So he just builds up income 6 months of the year, fishing in Alaska. And then he just lives his best life for the other 6 months. He has a huge following though of people who are like counterculture like him. And so it was an amazingly interesting conversation to have with him. And I never would have had this this conversation if I'd never started my crappy sounding podcast. It never would have happened. And so that's why I'm saying you have to start, because asking someone to be on your show, especially if you're not comfortable pitching or getting people, getting out there to get people to connect with you, that takes time to build that muscle. And so now I am completely unfazed by the process. I'm completely comfortable with doing it. I'm completely comfortable creating my own episodes or having guests. Like, it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal to pitch for sponsors. It's not a big deal to optimize my sales note or my show notes, sales notes, Freudian slip. None of that is scary because I started ugly. The audio on those episodes are crap. I don't know that you can actually listen to some of those episodes, because I think that some of the audio is corrupted on the beginning years of my podcast. Totally fine with that, because my platform actually has changed. And so the newer content is what I'm going to push out anyway. But I never would have learned the lessons I needed to learn and understood some of the things that people were talking to me about if I hadn't started ugly. So then from the podcast, I was like, you know, I've been thinking about this book thing for a while. So I write a book. Now, I should say that I wrote my nonfiction book, The Epic Guide to Moving to Colorado, first. And part of what I did was I just created a resource out of information that I already had, because I kept getting asked questions about Colorado. That book sells passively. Like, I don't push it out there because I haven't been working aggressively on my Colorado site. That is changing this year, but I just was like, you know, I'm going to create this book. And it's the most ridiculously Colorado book. It's great. I love the cover. I spent a whopping $15 on the cover, and I've made money on this book. And it's now a resource that I can refer people to if they have questions about moving here. And it saves me time and energy because I don't have to answer those questions anymore. So something to think about. But then I was like I said earlier, I was like, you know what? I'm going to write a book. And I decided to write a romance. Of all things, I'd always loved romance. I'm a big fan of books and literature. Jane Eyre is one of my favorite books of all time, which is obviously a romance. And I thought, I see these romances online, and I noticed how I'm reading them and how much money I'm spending, even though I have a subscription for certain resources. So why don't I give it a go? Like, I just was like, I'm going to try this out. And 23 hours later, I had a book. I had a cover done for 15 bucks. That included the cost of the tip. Like, that included the tip. So I basically doubled the amount that I spent, including the tip. I still work with the same person on my book covers. They actually did my Colorado cover as well, so they're able to do different genres. Love working with them. And I've made thousands on these books, and it's hilarious to me. I love them. I'm actually about to release one this week, and it was a lot more straightforward than I think people think it would actually be writing a romance novel. Ton of fun. But I never would have written that first one. I don't know. I never would have made all this money and built this confidence if I hadn't put that first one out there. And in my case, even though I do have a pen name, which is Autumn Stone, isn't that the best pen name ever? For other people, maybe they don't want to share who they are. That's totally fine. Have a pen name. In my case, because I also have a course, I like to share the pen name because it validates that I've actually written books. From writing that first kind of bad book to the other books, I decided again to create a course. And when I created the course again, it was not complete. I told people that it was not complete. They still bought the course. It is one of my favorite things that I've ever done. I'm obsessed with my course. I love my course so much. I love the authors in there. I love that they've just been hanging out with me since, I've had people in the course since last year, and they just hang out and we support each other. And it's just a wonderful space to talk about self-publishing and what to consider and to deep dive into that. My goal is to help creativepreneurs become authors one book at a time. I'm not trying to get you to do paperback books and all that stuff. I need you to just take the first leap and write the first book. But I never would have become this passionate advocate for creativepreneurs becoming authors if I hadn't tried first. And it's taken months to get feedback for me to understand how I felt about running the course, what worked, what didn't work, the types of areas that I'm weak at, where I needed support. I actually burnt out for part of the year. This past year has been a little intense. I burnt out and took a break, and I was very lucky because my students were like, no worries, you're fine. And that was wonderful because we'd really connected and built this rapport. Again, I am so proud of the people who are in my course and their vision that they're sharing. And it never would have happened if I hadn't tried. Like, if I hadn't put this tool out there, Make Money with eBooks, I wouldn't have helped the over 150 people who signed up for this course. Yeah, I was a little shocked. So 150 people have taken my course. And this is before really pushing it out there, doing a lot of marketing. I just was tweaking the course and changing things and trying to figure out what worked, what didn't. And I am proud. I am really proud of the success of this course. Then from a course, I decided to create an event. Now, it's, you know, I'm not sure how that's going to go. It could be horrible. I don't think it will be because I used to do events for 10 years with adult international students. So I'm not too worried about that. But I decided to launch Money on the Mountain, which is a financial retreat for financially independent women or financially single women independent. And the reason why was I was just like, you know what? I feel like every time I go to a money event, I have this amazing, amazing time. Like I love all the ones that I go to, but I kept leaving feeling like I need more time just to talk about my current financial experience and to give other people permission to do the same. So I just wanted to talk about the fact that I don't have coupled up money right now. And, what does that look like for me? What does that look like for debt repayment? What does that look like for retirement? What does that look like for when I get coupled up? Like, what does that look like? And I wanted to spend a weekend connecting with other women in the same situation, the same life experience, and have it be this wonderful, positive, enjoyable experience where we're like, this is the blueprint that we're leaving with for our financial life now. It has been amazing to me, the feedback and the response. I've had people approach me about supporting it. I've had people buy tickets. I've had, you know, but I never would have done any of that if I'd overthought it and waited too long. So do it ugly. The whole idea is to get out of your own way, get started, and get whatever it is that you're thinking about out there. I hope you enjoyed this show. I created a toolkit of it's not a course, it's free. It's not a course, but basically it's a resource that you can use. So it touches on those five areas that I mentioned: blogging, podcasting, course building, writing a book, and creating an event. The event one is pending me releasing Money on the Mountain. So once Money on the Mountain is done, then that section will go live. But the idea is you go to the Do It Ugly course and you go to the section for the thing that it is you haven't worked on. So if you're this like epic blogger and you're stuck in this weird endless cycle of trying to figure out what you need to become a podcaster with Do It Ugly, I'll tell you the cheapest thing you need to do, and just listen to me. Don't worry about just use the resource, because if you end up liking it, you will up level the resource. That's just the natural progression. If you don't like doing it, then you haven't spent any money at all. And that's the thing. Like when I started all of these projects, I started cheap and free. And, there is nothing wrong with that, because once you build the habit of blogging, because it's also a habit, once you build the habit of podcasting, once you build the habit of producing content for your course and running your course, then you can go back and refine your videos. You can go back and refine your text. You can go back and refine your marketing materials. You can't do that if it's still in your brain, if you don't test it out. So anyway, have a wonderful night. I hope you will do it ugly. Email me if you liked the show and there's a project that you're working on or you haven't worked on that you're now ready to do it ugly. Like and subscribe to the show, and I hope that you're having a beautiful day. And I hope that if you are a financially single woman, that you will join me in Denver this fall. Again, there is a payment plan, so if you need to do payments on the tickets, no worries, totally understand. I have been there. Have a great day, and have a glass of vino for me. Oh, and I forgot. The reason why I did not edit this episode was the whole point of doing it ugly. The episode is out. It has facilitated what I wanted it to facilitate, which is to educate, inspire, and inform. And that is the whole point. And I should say, as long as the product that you're working on, the resource that you're working on, does what its initial promises, that's it, that you've already like hit a home run. So with a blog, whatever it is you say you want your blog to do, as long as it does it, you're good. And then make it better. Your podcast should entertain, inspire, or educate. As long as it does that, crappy audio, while not ideal, as long as you're like, hey, I'm going to be improving the audio and learning this process, looking forward to getting feedback on that, your listeners will listen. How do I know? Because people listen to my crappy shows, and they gave me feedback about the interviews versus the audio. Your course, people will buy your course, okay? But if it's not out there, they, you know, it's hard to buy what's not out there. So my whole point is that's why I created this episode without editing it. It's still done. Still done. All right. Have a good night. Take care. Bye.